Let me introduce you to a fallen warrior, my friend David Klein, who served in Vietnam in the Big Red One, and whom I met on a return trip to Vietnam in 1988. We were part of the Vietnam Veterans Against the War Peace Delegation and came to pay our respects. We were very well received, except for a general in Phu Bai. He had to take us on a tour. My friend David wanted to go see Black Magic Mountain. They got out in front of this barren landscape, desolate, defoliated. The general came up and accused him of killing his friends. And my friend David, tall as he is, and the general being so short, shot right back, "Well, you killed a lot of my friends." Looked like they were going to start a war again. Our next stop was a cemetery around the back side of the mountain. We said some prayers and lit incense over the graves of the North Vietnamese soldiers. We turned around and the general was crying. He said, "For me, the war is over. This is how we pray war memorials should be used." David became president of Veterans for Peace and worked right up until Agent Orange finally took his life, a true soldier for peace that had been strengthened by going through the fire of war. Do we have veterans here? Raise your hand, veterans. Applause for the veterans. Let me suggest that people pay more attention when a veteran speaks out against a war. We were blessed to know and meet peace activist Daniel Berrigan, who was my personal hero and one whom we were able to invite to Rockford. Anyone remember that? Oh, good going. With the passing of Father Dan, the peace movement lost one of its best and most effective leaders. In 1993, it was, our local peace group and Rockford Urban Ministries brought Father Dan to speak at Court Street United Methodist Church. This is one of the classic pictures, and it almost made wearing handcuffs fashionable. We had over 400 people there, one of Rockford Urban Ministries' largest events. In fact, we have a dinner coming up June 17th with Paul Logley, and I'm hoping we can get at least 100 people there. Father Berrigan was known for protesting war, and he even served time in prison. When he came here, he had just come back from El Salvador, where he talked the revolutionaries into searching for peace with the government. He was on his way to Northern Ireland after speaking to Rockford. Father Berrigan said, "It takes courage to confront injustice without resorting to arms, and that picking up a gun separates one from the community they're trying to defend." But we have many heroes here in Rockford. In the newspaper article, I related the story of Catherine Golden, a lay member of Christ the Carpenter United Methodist Church. Anyone know her? She was an African-American single mother who lived in Orton Keyes public housing. I first met Catherine while I was a young hippie Vietnam vet Rock Valley College student. I had a part-time job driving school bus for the housing authority, taking people two park district lands for gardening, and she was one of the gardeners who kidded me about my long hair. When I was hired by the United Methodists, Catherine remembered me from those bus driving days and was surprised to see me clean cut and working as the executive director. She was quite the activist in her neighborhood and her church, and she also encouraged RUM, Rockford Urban Ministries, to get involved in anti-apartheid activities against the regime in South Africa. Now, Rockford at that time had an IBM office downtown just south of the courthouse. A high security building, we planned on picketing outdoors and then delivering a letter to the local general manager asking IBM to divest itself from South Africa. There were 12 people carrying signs, and Catherine was to deliver the letter halfway through our noonday rally. I thought I'd better go up and warn the official in charge that we were coming. I tried the elevator, it didn't work, but after pushing a few buttons, it brought me to the fourth floor, where a surprised executive wondered how I got through security. I tried to convince him that just accepting the letter in front of the local media would be a polite thing to do. He realized the longer he stalled, the less chance he'd have to face the public. Suddenly, the elevator door opened and in strode Catherine with three television cameras. She read parts of the letter asking IBM to divest, and with a flurry presented it to the astounded suit. Later, I asked Catherine how she got through the security. Prayers and angels was all she would say, but for me, it was a miracle. Rod Myers, anyone know him? The local environmentalist, kind of. He forced the park districts and forest preserves to put in all those little paved paths through our sacred reserves. He was almost sacrilegiously funny, and a disabled environmentalist who called himself one of Jerry's kids. Wherever the housing authority placed him, he would plant prairie grasses and wildflowers. And he was an early advocate for curb cuts and accessibility. Some of you may remember Peter Riley.
There he is.
Or maybe his wife, Dr. Maureen Flannery. He helped start the local anti-nuclear power group, Sinisippi Alliance for the Environment, as well as the local peace group. With friendly persuasion and intellect, he shared with those who needed some direction in working for peace and justice. He and his wife, Maureen, moved to Berea, Kentucky, and worked with indigent families in the hills of Appalachia. Betty Johnson? Very good. She was a force to be reckoned with in the League of Women Voters. She took on Commonwealth Edison's nuclear power plant and encouraged us rabble-rousers to file reams of paperwork and use the system to try to make the atom smasher a bit safer. Her passion was groundwater and preserving the land. Betty visited Hiroshima and brought back floating candles and that we tried to use for our early summer peace memorials. Stern Rufa from Temple Bethel, he helped us take on the KKK when they visited Rockford, twice that I recall. His idea was to host a chicken barbecue and invited the town. And of course, it was one of the most integrated events I'd ever seen. He always wanted to bring about a stone soup meal where you put in whatever people bring, and use that as a way of teaching the idea of sharing during times of need. And Edie Applegate, a United Methodist that enjoyed visiting this Unitarian congregation. She, like me, enjoyed your coffee. She also enjoyed working on poverty and hunger issues, both here and overseas. Others include Frank Moyer, a Lutheran pastor noted for his skills at reconciliation, which his church used. He also was very good at reconciling the school board with integration, and Rockford with ideas of justice. And we remember Lori Hoover and Frank Ware, who gave their lives for the mentally ill and those families who suffered trying to bring peace to the streets of Rockford and educate the police about dealing with someone who forgot to take their meds, as well as keeping many people out of jail and in recovery. And finally, our own Lee Lakey, who served for so many years as Rockford Urban Ministries secretary. She reminded us constantly to do peace and justice activities and to step into new areas where we could make a difference. Let's not only memorialize those who fought and died in war. May we lift up those who worked for peace and justice so that someday war will be no more. And now let us sing one of my favorite songs, hymn number 159. You can stand up. Good.
I will now extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry with us until we are together again. While I do that, I invite you to join hands, if you wish, for our benediction and blessing. The words from our blessing are from Project Plowshare, number 695. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe.